Well, good morning again. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I am really glad to again be able to make this video from our little studio in the third bedroom of our home during the great pandemic of 2020. And we just praise God. You know, we've had several of our friends battling COVID-19, but thank God so far, none of them have perished from it. They've all survived, and some of them were on the, you know, got really touch and go there for a while, but the Lord is faithful, and bless God, every one of them now is recovering. So we thank God for it, and we're going to keep pressing on. Well, I'm really excited about today's message. I know the title of this one. It's called The Holy Spirit Also Helps Our Infirmities. And you know, those of you that's been with Pastor Dave for a long time, like I have, you think, oh God, that's Romans 8:26. I know that. I know everything there is to know about that verse. Well, I thought that too. And then I'm telling you, during this time of doing the blueprint, like the Holy Spirit instructed us to do, you know, those 10 prophecies that came through Pastor Bronk, where we're meditating the word more, spending more time in prayer, spending more time in worship, listening for the voice of the Holy Spirit, he's just bringing forth some amazing things. This one really kind of builds on last week's message where I talked about the power, you know, the dunamis of the Holy Spirit, that we be strengthened with might. And that word might is the Greek word dunamis. And it's also sometimes translated virtue. And like when that woman with the issue of blood touched the hem of Jesus's garment, she felt virtue come in, he felt virtue go out. Well, that's dunamis. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul is praying that we be strengthened with that same power, and that's by the Holy Ghost. So that's last week's message. Now, this week's message, in a way, builds on that, and you'll see what I mean here in a minute. So let me read the verse. You're correct. We're going to launch from Romans 8:26, and I'll just tell you now, if you're using a regular Bible, you know, a printed paper Bible, better limber up your fingers. We're going to be looking at quite a few verses today, because this is a real Bible study. But I'm telling you, there's something in this that I had never seen before, not so clearly, and especially not from this verse. And it's going to help not only with our individual walk with the Lord for healing, but it's going to help us when it comes to healing, in the healing ministry of others. And again, it's another step beyond this understanding of the dunamis, the virtue, the power that's in us by the Holy Ghost. Because if Paul wants us strengthened with that spirit, with that might, then bless God, God wants us strengthened with it. And we need to walk in the truth of it. So it's only as we know the truth that we can really walk in agreement with God. He told me here recently, he says, you know, because we're believing for big things, you know, I mean, big things. The blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the maimed are made whole. And the other day, just in my prayer time, you know, and sweetly he said it to me. He wasn't like really getting on to me or anything. He says, son, the reason that you're not really walking there is that you don't fully agree with me yet. Part of that is because you don't really understand the truth yet, because it's only the truth that makes you free. And we're walking together quite a bit, but he said, we're not walking. You know, Amos 3:3, I believe it is, the prophet Amos said, can two walk together lest they be agreed? Well, he is truth. His word is truth, and our mind is being renewed to truth. So I thank God for the renewal that has happened so far, that we can walk in the truth. But as you'll see today, I thought, I'll be honest with you, after 20 some odd years sitting under Pastor Dave in Romans 8 again and again and again, I thought I had everything there was out of Romans 8:26. And by the way, nothing that we're saying today contradicts at all what Dave said. They're it's both. It's like they're meshed together completely perfectly. But I only understood one aspect of it. And so anyway, so if you haven't found Romans 8:26 by now, just listen while I read it. Okay. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, and in the same way, the Spirit also, that word also is so important. The Spirit, capital S, and this is correct, should be the Holy Spirit. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, and that's capital, Holy Spirit, that's correct, but the Holy Spirit itself, should be himself, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Well, thank God for Pastor Dave. There is so much that we already understand about this verse because Dave just lovingly yet relentlessly opened to Romans 8, you know, conference after conference. Oh, it's going to be something new. Open to Romans 8. And Dave so eloquently taught us so many truths, and we'll look at a little bit of this later, but there's so many times we don't know what to pray as we ought. We're going to look at some times with Paul that he didn't know what to pray as he ought, and didn't know what to do. And in the beginning, at the very beginning, none of us really know the calling of God on our life. We don't understand yet what our place is in the body. We don't really know. We know a few things to pray with our understanding. I know to pray that you're blessed and that you're, you know, like, Third John, verse 2, I think, that God did, you know, he wishes above all things that you'd prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I know to pray for your soul to be prosperous and for you to be in health and to prosper. I know to pray those kind of blessings on you, but, you know, you could run out of English, you know, your known language, you can run out of what to pray pretty quick. And yet we're supposed to pray without ceasing and pray at all times. Well, how in the world do you do that? Well, that's one of the advantages of being able to pray in the Holy Spirit, because he does make intercession for us. He does know what to pray. He knows exactly what to pray. He knew what your calling was before there was even a creation, before there was a universe. And he knows exactly how to get you in it. That's where one of my famous and favorite sayings comes from me. It says, he is smarter than Gary is dumb. I mean, if I'll just pray, he'll get it across to me. Hallelujah. And he'll do the same with you. Well, anyway, so we know that the Spirit, now that word also, we're going to back up here a little bit, but let's talk about also. See, Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 15, even though every time the word Spirit is used there, it's usually a capital S. It's really, in those 15 verses, it should be a little S, because he's not talking about the Holy Spirit in that portion of Romans chapter 8. There, he's talking about how the new nature, the reborn you, that newly created spirit person that you are on the inside. At one time, it calls it the very Spirit of Christ. It is the nature of Christ. It is his life. Jesus called it the light of life. Paul says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. That's the nature. That's the new birth. That's that new spirit. That's the new you that got born again when you receive Christ Jesus. And it helpeth us. I'm telling you, what it does, it has righteousness at its core. And it gives you the power to live above sin. That's how it, and your flesh is weak. It's infirm. My flesh still likes sin. It likes pleasure. You know, I was alive during the 70s, you know, and, there are several mantras there. One of them was, if it feels good, do it. And then a lot of them have said, if it feels really good, do it again. You know, well, boy, that's the flesh. It only likes what feels good. It only, that's why it likes the things that what the Bible calls the pleasures of sin. You know, it likes getting high, the chemicals that are released in the brain, the dopamine, and I'm not real good on all that stuff, but I know there's chemicals. That's why pornography, they say for, I don't know about women, but it says for males, just looking releases chemicals that are pleasurable in the brain. Well, what's one of the infirmities of our flesh? It likes that. It doesn't care whether God likes it or not. It just, if it feels good, it wants to do it. So the first level of help that we get is from the new nature. It is that law of life. That is the Spirit of Christ. It is his nature in you, that new man, that new creature that you become. And Romans 1 through 15, that's really what it's talking about. Oh, and by the way, it's through that nature. That's what gives us the power to mortify the flesh. That is, you've got strength right there to stand up with righteousness and say no every time, whether the flesh likes it, whether the flesh doesn't like it. The first help comes from the new spirit that you are. And it's through that spirit that you say yes to righteousness and no to sin, and you mortify the flesh. And what that simply means is you don't let it do what it wants to do. Just, the sanctified no. No, you don't get to do that. I'm telling you no. Now, the flesh will resist you, but I've been at this a long time. Trust me, you can retrain the flesh. You know, I'm the poster boy of giving in to the flesh for so long. I mean, the smoking I'm talking about. And all that time I was free and didn't know it. Even though Pastor Dave was saying I was free, in the first 30 minutes of the Born Again Trail, volume 1 out of 60 lessons, within the first 30 minutes of lesson 1, volume 1, he says, you've been made free from sin. So if you're a Christian and you're still sinning, it's because you want to, not because you have to. I mean, what? First 30 minutes. Well, even though Dave was preaching the truth, it took forever for Gary to step into that truth, but it was true the whole time. Thank God for his long suffering and his mercy with us. But what I have learned, and my flesh fought me like crazy when I finally stood up and said, no, you're not having any more of those. Oh, buddy, it did not didn't lay down like a whipped puppy. That my flesh fought me. I had withdrawals, I had sweats, I had headaches, I had on and on and on. But I've learned now. That was so many, many, many years ago now. And at the time, my flesh still wanted nicotine. It liked whatever comes with that. But, I've retrained it. It doesn't even want it anymore. Even when really stressful times come. I remember after several years of being free, one time, something, I don't remember what it was, it doesn't matter, but something really stressful happened to the point, normally I would have... I'd have reached right for a cigarette, And it was like a day or two later, and it dawned on me. I was so excited, I went and told Sue. I said, Sue, it just dawned on me. During that pressure, that stress that we just went through, it never even occurred to me once that I ought to have a cigarette. Now, you just don't know, for a lifelong smoker, that was a real breakthrough, But see, what I've learned is you can retrain the flesh. My flesh does not scream at me for nicotine anymore. I could train it again to do it. All you got to do is just start feeding it again. Before long, it's going to want it. There was a time way many more decades back that I was an alcoholic. My body craved alcohol. Dear Lord, I haven't had a drink since 1980, and here it is, 2020? And my body doesn't crave alcohol. I don't ever sit there and think, gee, I need a drink. It's ridiculous. I might go get a glass of milk, a nice cool cup or a glass of ice water, and especially a nice hot cup of coffee. Now you're talking the good stuff, as Dave would say, just a moment. Hallelujah. I love how Dave would say, tree of life, coffee bean tree. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Decaf. Anyway, I love our pastor. Hallelujah. All right. So that's probably enough summary there. And you know these things anyway. I'm just putting you in remembrance that Romans 8 verses 1 through 15 is talking about the first level of help, which is the help that comes by the new nature. That's the first level of help. And it enables you to live righteous and holy and say no to sin. But starting in verse 16, that's the first time in Romans 8 where the Holy Spirit is mentioned. Now he starts talking about the also help that the Holy Spirit brings. And I'm just going to summarize quickly what Dave has taught us. One of the helps is when you don't know what to pray as you ought. Well, thank God for the Holy Ghost, who does know how to pray and makes intercession for us as we pray in tongues. He's making perfect intercession for us according to the mind of Christ. Another type of infirmity that we have is, there's times when I don't know what to do, and I don't even know what to pray for you. Like I say, I know a little bit. I know for you to be, he wants your mind to be healthy and prosperous. He wants you to have enough to eat. He wants you to be healed. He wants you to have gasoline in your car. I know to pray that he wants your family to be a loving family. I can pray some things for you, but there's many, many times that I don't. And another advantage that they've just taught us and taught us and taught us is about the Holy Spirit is our teacher. And I'm not, and if you've been around very long at all, I mean, I'm just going to barely touch on that because, you know, there's volumes. If you don't know about the Holy Spirit being your teacher, just go to daveroberson.org and there are abundant lessons there. But see, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And Jesus said, He, the Holy Spirit, is going to guide you into all truth. He is the teacher. You know, our modern educational system, when you go to even elementary school or high school or college, they give you a book, but they also give you a teacher, because oftentimes there's questions. You know, I remember when I was learning integral calculus a long time ago, man, I had some questions. They gave you the book and you read the book and you're like, blink, blink, what? You know? Hello. I'm so glad there was a teacher that I could ask questions. Well, thank God he has given us a book. Thank God for the Word of God, and it is pure truth, but there's questions. Well, thank God for the Holy Spirit who has been given to us to help explain the mysteries. I like how Dave would say it. This is from 1 Corinthians early in chapter 14. It says, He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. Now, this is not talking about, there's four diversities of tongues. This one is talking about the tongue for your personal edification, where the Holy Spirit becomes your teacher. And it says, because you're not talking to other men there. It's not a tongue to be interpreted to other men. It's not a language you didn't learn. And it's not even intercessional groanings. This is when you're praying in the Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to teach you the mysteries, because it says, He that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. No man understands him. This is how it be, in the Spirit, he speaking mysteries. And I love how Dave would say, all right, now we know a couple of things here. When you're praying that kind of prayer, where it's the prayer of edification, where it's where you're praying and the Holy Spirit is your teacher, now we know two things. You're talking to God, and mysteries are being communicated. And Dave would say, how many of you think that while that's going on, you are explaining mysteries to God? And of course, that's ridiculous. No, God knew everything many millennia before you ever showed up, you know. No, during that process, the Holy Spirit is explaining the mysteries of God to you. Oh, thank God. I could just do volumes. We could be here for days just talking about the wonderful teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. And see, and that is part of Romans 8:26. Now, we're 18 minutes into the lesson. This video recording's got a little clock on it. Aren't you glad? I can tell how long I'm keeping you. That's enough review. See, all of that is the understanding that you and I have had because of the wonderful teaching ministry of Pastor Dave Roberson and how he has brought us to those understandings all of these years. But during this pandemic, during this seeking time, during this come away with me time, I kept hearing from the Holy Spirit, and it's, you know, I'm a teacher, so my calling, he's going to call me to do stuff along that line. I kept getting this whisper from him, search out that word infirmities. Search out that word infirmities. So, it didn't take too long. I searched out the word infirmities. And so let me give you a little information here. Because we've talked about the first level of help. Now we're going to talk about the second level of help. And we've already talked about part of it, where the Holy Spirit is your teacher, he's your helper, he's your intercessor, and so forth. But there's a level of help here that I think we've kind of missed. All right? That word infirmities, and again, from Romans 8:26, likewise the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. We're going to do a study on that word infirmities here. It's Strong's number, G769. I think I can pronounce this one, asthenia, A-S-T-H-E-N-I-A, asthenia. It comes from the root word, that's G772. And it means feebleness of body or mind. By implication, malady, that would be a sickness, or even moral frailty. So they said it can be a disease, infirmity, sickness, weakness of body or mind. Okay, all right, we got that. Infirmity sounds like a good word describing that. Okay. So first off, I looked up every time that that Greek word occurs in the four Gospels. And I'm going to give you all of them. This is in this lesson, there's not that many. And we're going to look at all of them because we want to see this also help that the Holy Spirit helps us with. So let's look at them in the Gospels. Okay. So first one, you ready? Told you, get your fingers limbered up. You ready? Go to Matthew 8:16. And I'm not gonna wait on you very long on these because we got too many verses to go to. So Matthew 8:16 says, When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. And now there's and. So there's two groups. One group that came that they were possessed with devils, and healed all that were sick. So we got two categories here, because some sickness is just natural, but you can look through the four Gospels and easily find that there's spirits also, these demons that can cause maladies in human beings. One of them was a spirit of deafness. Another one, this lady was bowed over. It was a spirit of infirmity. We'll get to her in a minute. But two groups. So it doesn't matter now, because you're going to see this word infirmities is used to describe both groups. So it doesn't matter whether it's a devil causing this or whether it's a natural sickness, something like COVID-19, or they can see it under a microscope. Okay. All right. So look at this. I'm going to read that again because it's so important. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many, many that were possessed with devils. He cast out the spirits with his word and healed all, boy, if you underline, circle, all that were sick. Look at verse 17. That it might be fulfilled. Now, this is what we see him doing, casting out devils and healing all that are sick, is a fulfillment of an Old Testament prophecy. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself, you ready? Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Oh, God, this is a level of help I had not seen from Romans 8:26. The Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. Jesus, it says he cast out devils. Well, what did Jesus say later? I've got it later in this lesson. He says, I cast out spirits by the finger of God. Well, who is that? That's the Holy Ghost, who also helpeth our infirmity. And if your infirmity is you've got a devil, in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will cast it out. Jesus himself said, I'm doing this by the power of the Holy Spirit. So that's a level of help that the Holy Spirit helps you with. You get demon problems, do you? Pray in tongues, you outfit. Speak in the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit will boing you by the finger of God. I like that. It just takes a little finger of God. Boing, and the devil is gone, see? And healed all of their sicknesses. So let me read the prophecy again. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself, Jesus, took our infirmities. But he did it with the power, the dunamis of the Holy Spirit. Remember last week's lesson, that we be strengthened with dunamis, that same power, that same virtue in us that was in Jesus after he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. But Jesus bare our, you see, he took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. The Holy Spirit, let's go back to Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit, Holy Spirit, also helpeth our infirmities. Oh, it's more than when I don't know just what to pray. It's more than when I don't know just what to do. It's more than when I'm perplexed and whatever. If I'm sick, he'll help me with that. That dunamis, he's already in there. That dunamis will flow through my body and heal my body. And guess what? Jesus said, when you lay hands on the sick believer, just little believer, Mary Wallpaper, Joe Public, when you lay hands on the sick, they will recover. Why? That same virtue in you will flow into them. Glory to God. See, if we don't know this, how are we going to walk together with him? This is what he believes. I've got to get my believer agreeing with his believer. Well, he believes this. This is the word of truth. And I can feel my believer stepping up higher. I'm going to be walking more with him now than I was in the past. Because he plainly says, the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. Glory to God. Well, so we could say, summary of those two verses. What does the Holy Spirit do? Oh, he will cast out devils by that dunamis. Now, it's all in the name of Jesus. Don't get me wrong. It's all in the name of Jesus. Jesus is Lord, but the Holy Spirit is the one that's here with us. Okay, and I know Jesus is in your heart. Don't get me wrong. Jesus, the glorified God-man, is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He's there with his glorified body. Now, you've got his nature, but the Godhead, that the part you got to deal with is the Holy Spirit. He's the one on the inside of us. Okay. But he heals. So part of that help is healing all that are sick and casting out devils. Well, boy, I hadn't really seen that from Romans 8:26 before. Let's go on a little more here. We're looking at every time that word infirmities is used in the four Gospels. All right, so go over to Luke chapter 5. Look at verse 15. I'll take a sip and give you a moment. Luke 5:15. Here there's great multitudes coming. But so much the more were there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes. Now, we're not talking dozens. We're not talking hundreds. We're talking thousands, okay? Every time that word is used, like feeding the 4,000, feeding the 5,000, and that's just the men. So counting women and children, no telling how big these multitudes are. Great multitudes came together. Now, notice, for two reasons. They came to hear and to be healed. Glory to God. See, there should be a fame of our churches going out to the whole world where people come to hear and to be healed. They should know where to go when they need a healing. And it should be the church. Hallelujah. That the fame would spread abroad, because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. And he's still doing the same. He's just doing it through our body now instead of the body he had while he was here. We are the body of Christ. Oh, see, I'm wanting to go preach, and I got to teach today. So now, what I want you to see is those great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Same Greek word. It's the Holy Spirit that helps our infirmities. And he heals all of these groups. As great multitudes came and they were healed. Well, Jesus is the one with the authority, but the Holy Spirit in him is the one with the dunamis. And it's the same with us. When we go in the name of Jesus, we are the agent of authority, but the Holy Spirit is the agent of power. He's the one with the dunamis, the dynamite. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So now you could say, well, what kind of help? He also helps. Well, we can expect his help to heal great multitudes when they come to hear and be healed. We can expect that level of help. Hallelujah. And every single one of them get what they come for. Glory to God. First time, every time, no exceptions. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Hallelujah. All right, now, let's go to the next one. And they're still in Luke chapter 8 and verse 2. Luke 8, verse 2. And it says, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. So we have both things involved here. Evil spirits and infirmities. Well, since he mentions both, I'm thinking these infirmities may have, these sicknesses or weaknesses, whatever was going on, might have been caused by these evil spirits. But either way, they had been healed of the evil spirits and whatever was being caused by the evil spirits, the infirmity itself. And it gives an example, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. Woo! Seven devils, okay? Jesus cast seven devils out of Mary Magdalene. How did he do it? You can look it up for yourself later in Luke 11:20. He says, I cast out devils by the finger of God. This is the also help. It is the Holy Spirit that casts those devils out. He's the one with the dunamis. He is the one with the virtue. It's the power flow. It's a liquid liquid flow of power, because it flows. Jesus, he felt that flow of power go out of him. The woman felt that flow of power come into her. She felt it and she knew she was healed. Hallelujah. So what can we expect? We can expect the Holy Spirit to also help when it comes to demonic possession. Not only to cast the devils out, but to fix whatever damage those devils did while they were in there. Because those are the infirmities. Glory to God. I never quite understood this from Romans 8:26 before. This is more help. We all understood the levels that we had been taught, but now he's showing us this includes physical healing. Every time that this is every occurrence in the four Gospels of that word, infirmities, Strong's G769. You're looking at every one of them, and you're going to see every single time it has to do with healing or casting out devils. Every time. My goodness. How we've walked below what God our Father has provided for us through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. All right, let's look at the next one. You're still in Luke. Now, this is a case where a disease is caused by a demon, by a devil. Okay. Luke 13. And let's look at verse 11. Okay. It says, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity. Now, that word infirmity is G769, but this is a spirit that they've labeled a spirit of infirmity. Well, let's see what it does. She had that spirit of infirmity 18 years. That is a spell. That is a while. You know, when you've had something 18 years, you start getting a mindset, I'm going to be like this the rest of my life. This is just the way it's going to be, you know. But Jesus walks in and sees her. This, I love hope. The definition of hope God gave me. What has been is not what shall be. Jesus walks in. He's got a whole different vision of this woman. He's got a whole different hope, a whole different faith. Watch this. A spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. See, and it tells us this is a spirit of infirmity. Somehow, and I don't totally understand this, but somehow this spirit bowed her over and kept her bowed over for 18 years. Oh my goodness. See, we don't have to understand all of the scientific, well, how does he do that? We just need to know how to get rid of it. Verse 12. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And here he goes. And he laid his hands on her. Why? The flow. He laid his hands on her. Notice, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Whew. Immediately. See, this is our lesson from 2 or 3 weeks ago. We were talking about the kingdom of God is at hand. Then he showed me in Mark's gospel right near the end when Jesus said, my betrayer is at hand. And it says immediately while he yet spake. And I went, good Lord, there's the definition of is at hand. It means it's here, now, at hand. Immediately, and it says immediately while he yet spake, Judah showed up. That's what it means. And that's the mark he's wanting us to press toward. I mean, I've had many gradual healings in my body. I'd rather have gradual healing than no healing. But he's raising the bar on us. And he said, I'm wanting you to believe that when I say the kingdom of God is at hand, I mean it is immediately while you yet speak. Gary, do you understand me? Gary, are you in there? Listen to me. Immediately, while you yet speak, that's the bar. Raise it there, son. Ooh, my goodness. And you see it over and over again when you see how Jesus ministers. All right. Now, what does this tell us? Okay. So he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And they'll still glorify God today too, I'll tell you right now. But notice, woman, thou art loosed from thine what? Infirmity. And it's the same Greek word. It's the Holy Spirit that drove that devil out of her. As soon as Jesus spoke the words of authority, then the Holy Spirit, when he laid his hands on that woman, the Holy Spirit, no doubt that virtue flowed from him into her and drove a spirit out that was causing the infirmity. But notice, it didn't drive it out and leave her bent over. It fixed what that devil was causing. And she straightened right up, and the Holy Spirit just straightened her right up. Bleep. And I'm like, immediately, you know, hallelujah. He also helpeth our infirmities and those that infirmities of those that we prayed for. And notice, it doesn't matter if it's a natural sickness or caused by a devil. Doesn't matter. We don't even know, need to know. We just speak the word of authority. Holy Spirit knows. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's look at another one here. I hope you're getting something out of this. This is a level of him helping our infirmities that I had never seen in the word until I obeyed that instruction. Thank God for this come away with me time where we have time to get quiet and pray and listen. I had never even thought of looking up this word infirmities before like that, but he kept whispering it to me. Do a word study on infirmities. Okay, I'm going to have to speed it up. The little clock keeps moving there on the video. All right, and let's look at that's a long time, 18 years. Let's look at a really long one. Okay, go over to John now, John chapter 5. Again, that gave me a chance for get a sip here. John chapter 5, and look at verse 5. And, you know, this is at that pool of Bethesda. And a certain man was there, which had an infirmity. There's that Greek word again. He had an infirmity. Now notice, 38 years. I bet many of you listening to me aren't even 38 years old. 38 years now. If 18 years, you think, man, I'm going to be like that forever. This, you know, 38 years, at least this guy still had hope. He was still at the pool. But he was so infirm, he couldn't get down there himself. He couldn't be the first one in. But notice, he had an infirmity, all right? The Holy Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. So let's watch what happens here. So Jesus called unto him, rise. Now that's in verse 8. Jesus saith unto him, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Well, this guy is so infirm, he couldn't even make it to the pool, much less carry his bed. He couldn't even get out of the bed and make it into the water. And Jesus is talking to him with a voice of command, because Jesus knows what he says will come to pass because of the Holy Spirit. So he says, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Here it is again. And immediately, see, immediately, the man was made whole. This time Jesus didn't say he even had to lay his hands on him. This time he just spoke, and the Holy Spirit did. And he did it immediately. And immediately the man was made whole, took up the bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Immediately. 38 years. Now what does this tell us about the Holy Spirit helping us with our infirmities? I don't care how long you've had that disease. I don't care if they say it's incurable. I don't care if you had it 10 years, 20 years, 38 years. I don't care how long you've had it. It does not matter to the power of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to stay that way. Say it with me. What has been is not what shall be. My history does not prophesy my future. Glory to God. You don't have to. Your history does not have to define your future. Get hope out of the Word of God and add faith with your hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. You've got to see yourself free, my brother and sister. Glory to God. I could just preach forever right there. For this part of the lesson, the Holy Spirit helpeth our infirmities, and it doesn't matter how long you've had it. 38 years now is a spell. 38 years the guy's had this. And then immediately, in an instant, it's over. Hallelujah. How? Because the Holy Spirit help us. Holy Spirit help us to that man's infirmity. And it was instantaneous. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, let's look at, what about a terminal disease? Okay, yeah, that's bad. We've seen that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but what if they got a terminal disease? What if the doctors say there's no hope at all? Ah, well, let's look at one of those. Lazarus had a terminal disease. How do you know it was terminal? He died. Terminal disease now, okay? All right, so let's go to look at Lazarus here for a minute. John chapter 11, look at verse 1. You're turning to John just a minute. Hallelujah. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now, John 11 verse 4 says, when Jesus heard that, he said, now notice this word, this infirmity, or no, excuse me, in the King James it said this sickness, but it is the same Greek word, that same Greek word, G769, I think it is. Yes, G769, translated infirmity everywhere else. This infirmity, this sickness, Jesus is prophesying, is not in unto death. Yet we know that Jesus, that Lazarus died. But see, Jesus is speaking the end result. One of the things in the blueprint for 2020, one of the things the Holy Spirit instructed us there in those prophecies, he wanted us to train ourselves, always speak the end result. That's what Jesus did all the time. The end result, this sickness is not unto death. Well, we go, well, he died. Now you haven't stayed around for the end of the story yet. The end result is not going to be death. So when Jesus heard that, he said, this infirmity, and that stay with that word, because that's really the same Greek word, this infirmity is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. All right. Now, staying with the same story, we've got to skip way down. That's a long story. We could teach forever on it, but let's look at the end result here. Come on down to verse 43. And when he thus had spoken, he cried. Now, this is Jesus. When he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. I heard one preacher one time say, why did he use the name Lazarus? Why didn't he just say, come forth? Because if Jesus, the Son of God, the Word of God, had stood at the graveyard and went, come forth, all of them, all the graves would have opened. See, that's going to happen one of these days. He's going to talk to all of our bodies that are in the, you know, come forth. Okay, that's another lesson. So no wonder he had to put Lazarus on there. Okay, Lazarus, come forth. Look at verse 44. And he that was dead came forth. Jesus says, come forth. What do? You come forth. Bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Now, what do we learn from that? Terminal diseases, not a problem for the Holy Ghost. Not a problem. There was a reason Jesus couldn't come sooner than he did. And that's a long story that Pastor Dave taught us. But basically, the devil had laid a trap trying to lure Jesus back to his friend's house because the Jews were in wait. They were hiding around there. They wanted to capture him and kill him. Well, the Holy Spirit revealed all that to Jesus, so there was no point in rushing. It was just, okay, once Lazarus died, then those people thought, well, Jesus is not coming, and they dispersed. Well, then they come. So if it had not been a trap, Jesus would have come and healed him of a terminal disease, just like he healed so many others. But see, there was a reason not to this time. So now get this, not only will the Holy Spirit help with a terminal disease, if need be, even death isn't too strong for the Holy Spirit. Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. We know it's by the power of the Spirit. It's called an infirmity. The Holy Spirit did this, quickened, brought him out. Anyway, you see the point? There is no such thing as too late. There's just no such thing as that. It's one of the confessions we do at Calling in the Lost. It's never too late. Never too late. Okay. Now, I made some summary of that. That's every occurrence of the word infirmity in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's all of them. And did you see it? Every single time it had to do with some type of a sickness, some type of a disease, whether that was caused by natural means or whether it was caused by a devil. And it didn't make any difference to Jesus. It didn't make any difference to the power of the Holy Ghost. He healed them each and every time. And the point that I'm getting from this is Romans 8:26, when it says, he also helpeth our infirmities. Well, if I'm going to go with the infirmities as written in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he helps with our sicknesses. He helps with our pains. Not only in our own body. Remember I said last week, I said, now if that dunamis, that healing virtue could flow from Jesus's body into that woman to heal her body, then that also means that that dunamis, that healing virtue, is in the body of Jesus to keep him healthy. Well, we've been baptized with the Holy Ghost. We're called the temple of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit with that dunamis is inside of our body. If the Lord says that when we lay hands on the sick, they'll recover, it's because that power will flow from us into them. Well, that also means that dunamis, that healing miracle-working power, is on the inside of us to heal our body. And we've been looking at it. It doesn't matter whether it's a sickness caused by a coronavirus, a natural germ, or whether it's caused by a devil, a spirit of some kind. It doesn't matter. Every time, still, the Holy Spirit helped with that infirmity, and the person was not only delivered, but they got restoration. Their body, that woman straightened up, the issue of blood stopped, and so forth and so on. We could go on and on. I'm understanding in a way I never had before, that when it says, he also helpeth our infirmities, I'm understanding now that's not just when I need direction, not just when I need counsel, not just when I need him to pray the plan for me, not just when I need to be taught. He helps me with every sickness that the enemy would, anything that would attack my body. He also helps with my infirmities. Glory to God. I have that dunamis healing power of God. If I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost, then I'm the temple of dunamis. And that healing virtue is in me to keep my body well. Look out, devil, here we come. My mom keeps telling me, my 99-year-old mother keeps telling me, son, you're only 73. And she means it when she says that. Well, I'm starting to believe it. I'm only 73. I've got a long time till 120. And it says, if I'm not satisfied with long life, he'll satisfy me. If I'm not satisfied, I might go beyond 120, but I'm not going to be in no nursing home. I'm going to be out preaching the gospel, laying hands on the sick and casting out devils. Okay. Hallelujah. So I wrote some summary, a little summary paragraph here. And I'm going to have to speed it up again. Got about 10 minutes for the rest of this. So here's my little summary. It said every time the word infirmities, that Greek word is used, the Strong's word that I told you, every time that it's used in the four Gospels, it is used in regard to sickness from either natural causes or because of a devil, a demon. And no matter the cause, in the name of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, quote, helped all of them by manifesting that power and setting them free. And in the case of Lazarus, we find out even physical death is not too strong when it comes to the Holy Spirit's help, because he delivered Lazarus from death itself. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. Now we're going to look at the word infirmities after the four Gospels. So we're talking about through the New Testament here. And there's too many to do in a single lesson. We may have to do, later on we'll do another study. Now, before we get into this part, because now in the New Testament, you're going to find that the word infirmities is sometimes used in regard to sickness. And sometimes it's, in fact, more often in the New Testament, it's used to deal with when we're puzzled, when we don't know what to do, and that sort of thing. So let me give you Thayer's definition of the word. I thought it was really good also, and you spell that T-H-A-Y-E-R, and he's another scholar like Strong's, and I like both of them together. I'm trying to think of the other one, Vines. Those three are the ones I use more than any other. Vines Dictionary of New Testament Words, Thayer's Dictionary, and Strong's Dictionary. And there's others. Jim Martin uses some that are even way more in depth than that. So if I really need to know, I'll just listen to Jim teach on it. Whoops, I didn't say that out loud, did I? Hallelujah. Okay, so the New Testament. Let me give you Thayer's definition of that same Greek word that's translated infirmities. All right, he says, number one, it is a want or a lack of strength, weakness, or infirmity. It can be of the body, meaning just the body's natural weakness and frailty. It can also mean feebleness due to sickness. But it can also mean lack of strength of the soul. And there he subheadings, he says, to understand a thing, not able to understand a thing. And the ability to restrain corrupt desires, okay? That really has more to do with Romans 8, 1 through 15. But I like, then he finishes up with this one, though. It is lack of ability, infirmity, to stand up under trials and troubles. And the Holy Spirit helps us with that, too. All right, let's get into some examples. I've got about 8 minutes here, and I may go over. I have been known to do that. Hey, if Alan can run over, I can run over. Anyway, okay. So here we go. Let's look at, we're still dealing with Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So there's times when we do not understand. One of Thayer's things, we just don't understand. And so there's times we don't understand what to do. So one of my favorite examples from there, go ahead and turn over to Acts 16, verses 6 through 10. And you've heard me teach on this, most of you, many times. But it's just such a perfect example. And it's so simple to understand. And let me just read it to you. It says, now, when they had gone through, this is Paul and Silas, when they had gone throughout, and forgive me for my mispronunciation of these words, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, now notice, and were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, they assayed, that means they thought about going, to Bithynia. But the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, suffered them not. Can you tell that they're a little confused? Maybe we're supposed to go to Asia? No. The Holy Spirit's helping them. Maybe we're supposed to go to Bithynia? No. Holy Spirit? No. And they, passing Mysia, came down to Troas. Boy, now here's one of the helps of the Holy Spirit. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Now, the way that's worded, a vision in the night. He may have been awake by the campfire and just had a vision. He may have been asleep and a vision appeared in a dream. We don't know. But we know what the vision was, or the dream. We know what it was. It says, there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him. Now, in this vision, there's a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. See, pardon me a minute. See, for Gary, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. God has to lower it down. He has to get it where I can understand it. See, even if I don't know what to do, maybe he wants me to go to Asia. No? Okay, well, maybe Bithynia. No? I don't know where to go, Lord, and just keep... No, Paul says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. And he's praying out these mysteries. He prayed in, if you're really in the Greek, it says he by himself was praying more than the whole Corinthian church all put together. That's a lot of prayer. But Paul was praying those mysteries, see. And so no wonder a vision could appear to him in the night. See, and I like it. Jane, see the ball. Get it down where Gary, hello, Gary, get it down. Because even I, if I see a man of Macedonia and he's saying, please come to Macedonia and help us, I think I would know to go to Macedonia. That's the way I like it. Get it down where I understand it, Lord. And the Holy Spirit helps us with our inability to understand. We don't know what to pray as we ought. Paul didn't know what to pray as he just said, I don't know where to go. And I'm praying. Thank God I pray in tongues more than you all, you know. And so he's praying the mysteries and the Holy Spirit does what he does. And he comes in visions and he comes in dreams. And this vision appears. Come over a man of Macedonia saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Gee, I think perhaps we should go to Macedonia. Hallelujah. And after he had seen the vision, immediately he endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Glory to God. Thank God for the language of the Holy Spirit, and part of that help comes in the forms of visions and dreams. Paul didn't know what to do. He didn't even know really what to pray. But he prayed in other tongues. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. I'm praying those mysteries. The Holy Spirit is explaining every hour. I tell everyone all the time, there is no such thing as a wasted hour praying in other tongues. The Holy Spirit is making intercession for you according to the will of God. So everything that Dave has taught us is absolutely a Rembrandt, a Picasso. It's perfect. But now what he's wanting to add to our understanding so we can walk with him even better, he'll help you with your physical infirmities. He'll help you with your sicknesses. He'll help you with demonic attacks. And not only that, not only are we supposed to walk healthy and free, but he flows through us as we pray for others. And this builds on last week's lesson. Paul himself was praying for the church that we would be strengthened with might. And that's that word dunamis. That is the power of the Holy Ghost in our inner man. Well, the inner man is the new creature. That's the new nature. That's you. But he wants you strengthened with dunamis by the Spirit, by the Father's Spirit. Well, that's the Holy Ghost. I love how this is flowing together. Can you tell I still get excited about the word? I hope you can. There's one other one. I didn't have this in my notes, but I've got a couple of minutes here. You know, there was Paul suffered great persecution everywhere that he went. And if we had time to teach on it, which we don't, Paul, who had become the most dangerous man on planet Earth, as far as the devil was concerned, everywhere Paul went, people got saved, they got healed, churches were established, devils were cast out. And so finally it says that there was a special messenger, and a messenger of the devil. I'm sure he picked a high-level demon and probably a host, an army with him to attack Paul. And it's conspicuously absent regarding sickness. If you read in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 11 and 12, Paul talks about that. It might be 2 Corinthians, but it's where he talks about that. I don't have these in my notes, but he talks about shipwrecks and perils in the water, and it talks about fastings often, and perils of countrymen, perils of brethren. And I'm sure there were highway robbers, every kind of thing in the world. But you'll notice if you look that list carefully, what one thing that's conspicuously absent is sickness. Okay? And I don't think the devil was able to do that. I'm sure he tried. But I think Paul had enough revelation. He didn't go for it. But everywhere Paul went, that devil would stir up the people. You know, Paul was stoned one time. They drug him outside the gate and stoned him. Maybe to death. I mean, they left him for dead. And those people knew what stoning was in those days. And it says the rest of the disciples gathered around him and prayed. And Paul rose up. The point is, Paul prayed. See, Paul didn't always know how to pray accurately either. He prayed three times for this thing to be removed. Well, this thing was that devil. He prayed three times. And of course, it's not just the devil. He wants all of that persecution to stop. Well, wouldn't we all? And it took forever because God's answer to Paul was really like, no, my grace is sufficient for you. And for years, I couldn't get that. You know, you just read it, assimilate, pray in tongues, just like Pastor Dave taught us. Then finally, the Holy Spirit brought my understanding. brought better understanding. I'm not saying I totally understand it now, but I understand part of it. How would God have answered that prayer? How would God stop the persecution by these people everywhere Paul went? Well, number one, he had to come against their own willpower, their own will. He's not going to do that. God gives us free will. If he didn't give us, like how Dave said it, if God was ever going to override somebody's free will, he would have slapped Adam down on his way to the tree. You know, God does not do that. All right. Secondly, God, I guess he could have killed the ones that were going to persecute Paul, but isn't that strange? Kill the very ones that he sent Paul to preach the gospel to? Kill the very ones that Paul is trying to rescue? No, that's not the plan of God. Well, how else could God have answered that prayer? Well, he could take Paul out of the ministry. All right, you're no longer my apostle. You're no longer a minister. You can retire now. And you can just fish by, you know, go back to Troas and fish by the lake. Take you out of the ministry. That probably would have stopped it, you know. See, none of that was the plan of God. Paul was not praying correctly. No. Paul's job was to keep on. And that's why God says what he says. My grace is sufficient for you. Every time Paul was whipped, beat, whatever, God would heal him, raise him up, and send him again. My grace is sufficient. My power is sufficient. My Holy Spirit is in you. And no matter what they do, I'm going to raise you up, I'll heal you, and you can go on and preach again. Boy, we've got to understand that. Paul came to the point, he says, I glory now in my infirmities. He's not talking about sickness. He's talking about, yeah, my flesh is weak. It can be killed. I mean, they killed Stephen, okay? My flesh is weak. They can hurt me. They can do things. They can stone me. They can do things. Well, I glory in that now because no matter what they do, God's grace is sufficient for me. And when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul learned to lean hard on the grace of God. And boy, do we need to do that same thing. And that brings me to my last point here now. And again, there's a lot more verses on infirmities in the New Testament. There's just no time to do them all in a single service. But we looked at every one in the four Gospels. And every one of those had to do with sickness or caused by either a devil or natural causes. And the Holy Spirit, He helped every single one of them. Okay. This last one, let's go to Hebrews chapter 4. Look at verse 15. Hebrews 4:15. I'm running just a little bit over, but not bad. For we have not a high priest, talking about Jesus, which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. All right? Now, the flesh is weak. Jesus wore a fallen body from Adam, exactly like the one you're wearing, exactly like the one I'm wearing. He knows these bodies are not righteous. They're not saved. That's why he had to put them in the position of death. The body just does not get to make decisions, okay? But that doesn't mean he doesn't know what we're going through. That doesn't mean he knows it's hard. He knows it's hard. Do you know when you're struggling, I like how Alan says, your struggles are not you. Do you know who your greatest cheerleader is? I believe it's Jesus on the throne. He's going, you can do this. You can make it. That law of life I put on the inside of you is strong. I'm with you. I'm praying for you. You can do this. You're my hope in the earth. Come on. Dust yourself off. Pick yourself up. Confess your sin. Get cleansed fresh by the blood. We're going again. You are going to overcome this thing. Glory to God. One more. One more. It's hard for me to quit. Can you tell? Hebrews 11:34. God, I love this one. And this is right near the end of that hall of faith. I mean, here it talks about all of our heroes from the Old Testament. Noah and Moses and Abraham and Samson and on and on and on. And it's starting to give this summary, you know. And Hebrews 11:34, look at this, because that word infirmity is in it. They quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Now notice, and out of weakness, that's it. That's that same Greek word translated infirmity. And out of infirmity, out of weakness, were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight and turn to flight the armies of the aliens. That's the enemies. See, prophetically, that is so talking about us, that we need to be made strong out of our weakness. And the Holy Spirit, remember last week, Paul's prayer, that the spirit of might, that God would give us the spirit of might, power, by his spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, in our inner man. And if we do that, we go from weakness to being strong. We will fight valiantly in the fight, and we'll run off the armies of the devil. And revival has come to the land. Hallelujah. Can't wait till next time. See you then. In Jesus. Almost closed without doing it again. Now, it's beneficial. It's okay for me to tell this. An email came out yesterday, I believe it was. And the first service at the prayer center is going to be June the 7th. On a Sunday, June the 7th. Our normal schedule as before. Now, they're going to follow all the guidelines. You ought to get that email and read it. They're going to have social distancing and so forth. All of those, wash your hands, all of those type of things. But we are going to have services again starting June the 7th. So praise God for that. But there hasn't been services since like mid-March. So most of the people that donate to the prayer center, the mother church kind of, most of us, thank God for the Family Prayer Center in Tulsa, most of the offerings would come in during the services. So since we haven't been having services in so long, it's just on my heart to just put you in remembrance. It's real easy. Just write a check to DRM. That's the way I do it. It stands for Dave Roberson Ministries, but I just make a check out to DRM. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Those of you that's been doing it, please continue to do it and support the ministry. Let me give you I got a mailing address here. And you can mail it to the Family Prayer Center, Post Office Box 725, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74101. That's the Family Prayer Center, Post Office Box 725, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74101. All right, I'm really closing this time. I am excited about what's coming. We are going to go from weakness to strength. We are going to wax valiant in fight, and we're going to run off these devils that are the enemies of God. Revival has come to the land. See you next time.